Hello, welcome back. Episode, I'm going to be honest, not a clue. Not a clue. I'm going to have a guess at 12, I think. If there's a bit of background noise, I apologise. Lots going on. I usually record these nice and early in the morning. However, I'm going for a Sunday afternoon today. So if there's a little bit of background noise, I apologise. Hopefully it's not too bad anyway. The next chapter then is myths and fad diets. And this is one that I can't overly remember what's in it. Obviously written about 4 years ago, maybe five, however long it was. And my views on some of them may have changed, may not have changed. Or maybe the way I word the benefits of them might have changed. But obviously, as we go through it, I will try not to stop mid-reading, but I'll summarise thoughts again at the end in terms of my thinking in the current day, if you like. And this chapter is all about myths and fad diets. Okay, so I'm going to start. I'm going to try my best to not discredit any diet or anything of the nature, but I am going to use this section of the book to put forward a few truths surrounding fad diets and some of the myths around food. The first place to start is going to be the ever popular shake, bar and or coffee diets. These types of diets have really taken off in recent times. Why? Because they do in actual fact work. It would be wrong to say they don't, because they do. Let's think about it logically. If I said to you this week you are going to only drink two shakes, which are 200 calories, and then you can have a meal of, let's say, 500 calories per day, your daily intake is just 900 calories. Everything we know so far, that 900 calories is going to be well under your daily expenditure. Scientific evidence shows us that this will result in fat loss, and pretty quick fat loss at that. Here comes the issue. Dropping weight that quickly is going to cause your body all sorts of damage in terms of health. This sort of diet is also very unsustainable, unless, of course, you want to live off two shakes and one meal for the rest of your life. I thought not. This is one of the leading causes of the yo-yo dieting generation. Let's now look at the metabolic adaptation, which has been covered in more detail further on by following diets like this. The human body is very smart. When you start eating normally again, your body is very clever and will store all the excess calories you are now eating. Without judging too much, many people opt for these diets a few weeks before holidays, looking for quick results and then massively overconsume on food and alcoholic drinks when on holiday and then struggle further down the line. You can see now how these types of quick fit diets, yes, are a quick fix, but cause more harm than good. Changing behaviours and lifestyle over a prolonged time is far healthier, far more sustainable, and will give you the best results that you can keep. It would be like me giving an overweight person a body with 10% body fat. They wouldn't be able to maintain that because they haven't got the routines in place, the lifestyle in place, and they don't know how to maintain that body shape. A lot of lifestyle and behaviour change is about the process of getting to where you want rather than having instant results with no way of being able to maintain it. A couple of myths to dispel, and this is not an exhaustive list as there are more and more coming out daily. Sugar does not make you fat. Sugar is like any other food. It has calorific values and is used as a fuel by the body. The reason I believe sugar gets a bad reputation is because it is very easy to overconsume. And let's be honest, when mixed with fats, which remember are high in calories, 9 calories per gram, it tastes pretty good. Let's think chocolate, ice creams and cakes. All have a combination of sugar and fats, which makes certain foods hyperpalatable, meaning you are going to struggle to put them down. Here is where it comes from. Someone cuts sugar from their diet. As a result, they no longer eat chocolate, cakes, fruit, ice cream and other similar foods. Suddenly, sugar has become the bad guy. No, all you've done is significantly lower your caloric intake by cutting out foods which are high in calories. Sugar isn't the problem. Calories are the problem. There isn't a scientific study out there in which caloric intake has been measured that can suggest anything other than calories is what counts. The method at which you go about reducing your calories generally doesn't matter in the bigger picture. Fat-burning foods quite simply do not exist. Here's a scenario for you. If such a food were available, it would be the most expensive food on the planet, bar none. Why? Because the demand for such a food would far outweigh the supply. The only way you can burn calories is through the processes discussed in the TDEE section. Even when looking at the thermic effect of food, there isn't one food where its calories used to digest and process outweigh the caloric value of it. Skipping breakfast is bad for you. Again, think about what we need to achieve for fat loss. Having someone tell you that you need to eat breakfast, thus adding to your caloric intake, will help with your fat loss results doesn't sound right. Let's move on to maths. It simply doesn't calculate. There can, however, be some benefits. If eating breakfast stops you snacking on crisps during the morning, then maybe eating breakfast is a good idea. But simply adding more calories, if you change nothing else during the day, is not going to contribute to your fat loss goals. I could go on for a while, but I don't want to fill the book with negativity. If you get told something, think about it logically. Does it make sense? Generally, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. Failing that, seek out extra help and question the principles behind the idea. So quite a short one in comparison to the long one previously. And I still agree with all of it. I do still agree with all of it. Calories are the most important thing. How you reduce those calories is almost up to you, like we've spoken about before. Sometimes cutting, doing really short diets, you know, by restricting calories hugely can have very good results. You can, if you're able to, creep them back up and it be of a positive. But what most people do is, like I said, is they will consume minimal calories and then consume loads of calories and just yo-yo up and down, up and down, up and down, which makes it difficult. Another thing on it, which I heard the other day, is if you think you are in a calorie deficit and you are not losing weight, unfortunately, you are not in a calorie deficit. As much as you may think that you are, it's not a case of you're lying or you're not measuring or whatever. It's just you've calculated it slightly wrong. And someone said to me the other day, if you have got someone who is in a calorie deficit and not losing weight, you need to go and send them to NASA because we've managed to make fuel and energy out of nothing, which means you could basically fly a plane without any fuel because you are making energy from nothing. It cannot simply happen. So either the TDE is calculated incorrectly or more than likely what you deem as a portion size is not a portion size. You know, the best way around it is to go full metal, if you like, and weigh out foods, and you will see what a portion size actually looks like. It is tiny. Well, hold it there for the episode. Nice short one. Once again, thank you for listening. If you've got any questions about diets or anything like that, feel free, send them through. If you're not sure about one or what the benefits are or all the rest of it, and I will do my best to answer them. Once again, thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next one.